Good morning, folks. I'm George Corliss.
Hi, I'm Jelaine Fenner.
And welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. And Jelaine, today's program has always been one of your favorites. We're going to be playing what?
20 questions.
20 questions. And our guest today is Diane Kobar. She's Pastor Bela Kobar's wife, and together they minister to the Grayling, Houghton Lake, and Miles Seventh-day Adventist churches here in northern Michigan. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, George and Jelaine.
And we're so glad to have you here because you really get put on the spot. And
yes,
folks,
you do.
When we play 20 questions, these questions will actually share the depth of a person's relationship with Christ and how they traveled the road to get to where they are today. And by listening to their life story and applying their thoughts and ideas to your life, we're hoping that you can deepen your relationship with Christ and others around you. And it's a lot of fun, but once again, Diane hasn't really seen any of these questions yet. And so
interesting.
You never know what's coming.
That's right.
And you really answer from the heart. That's the fun thing, isn't it, Jelaine?
Right.
And we've had a number of people, Diane, and we were talking a little bit off air, have come in here. Now, we have Diane via the telephone. Sometimes people come into the studios and record these also. But we've had them in tears with some of the questions because it kind of stirs some memories
That's
that possibly
right.
they haven't thought of
That's
before.
Right.
So we're really excited about this. And Diane, we usually start with a word of prayer. So Jelaine, would you start us out with a word of prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we always come to you thanking you for the love that you bestow upon us. And we just pray that you'd be with our program today. And we pray about Diane's testimony, Lord. We all have a testimony, and we just pray that you would bless the hearers, that something would touch their hearts and help them to be drawn closer to you also. Thank you, Jesus, for your infinite sacrifice so that we can spend eternity with you. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, Diane, first question, how long have you been a Christian?
I became a Christian in 1980. I became a solid Christian in 1980, even though I was raised in a Christian home.
Okay.
So what person had the biggest effect on you becoming a Christian, and why?
I would say that my mother's prayers were answered when my cousin came to visit me, my cousin Dwight, and he took me out to a steak dinner. And I could tell that I was living in the world, and I was making more money than him. But he was happier than I was, and I just couldn't figure out how he could be so happy, and he was making peanuts as a Christian teacher.
So you said your mother's prayers, but
my cousin's visit.
Your mother was praying for you, and your cousin came to visit.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
And so, Diane, why don't you delve into about this situation with your
cousin.
Well, my cousin Dwight came to visit me on his motorcycle. He took me out to the restaurant, and I just love motorcycles, and I love my cousin. He was my favorite cousin. We were called kissing cousins. And we just had such a good time, but I could tell that he had something I didn't have, and I wanted it. So 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from my mom. She said, Dwight's dead.
Oh, my.
27 years old. And I couldn't believe it. I'd just seen him 2 weeks before. He'd taken me out. And so I quickly got off work. I traveled up to Bay City. There were busloads of his students that had come to the funeral. And in the funeral, they talked about my cousin and how he loved God and how he loved his family. They read from his diary. But what really got me was they held up his shoes and they said, we need someone to fill his shoes.
Oh, my.
And right then, the Holy Spirit just said, Diane, I want you. And I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. But that didn't matter to God. He wanted me. And right then, even though I hadn't made any changes in my life at that point, my life began to change immediately that summer.
Now, were you a teacher yourself, too?
Well, at that point, I was a medical technologist. I was working as a blood banker in St. Joseph Mercy Hospital in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I was actually on the midnight shift, and amazingly, I had every weekend off. Plus, I would be there from 11 to 7 in the morning, and I could just study my Bible now. And it became just Bible reading time. Whenever there were no cross matches to do, I could just study my Bible. My cousin had died very tragically. There were two girls and two guys and two canoes. They were Christian counselors off Drummond Island looking for wilderness campsites. They had their life jackets on, but the winds blew them away from the island. And one by one, they got hypothermia and died. And the last girl alive was holding up the last boy who had died, hoping that they would be rescued and be able to resuscitate him. When finally she realized she needed to swim for shore, she ended up on a Canadian island. And they had to wait for the bodies to wash up on shore.
Oh.
So my aunt had also been praying for me. The mother of Dwight, my cousin, had been praying for me too. And she was the one who told me when I left the Lord. And my mom brought me over to my Aunt Bert's house. And my mom said, tell Aunt Bert the way you're going to live your life. And I just said to Aunt Bert that I'd chosen to become, you know, live in the world and do all kinds of other things. And my aunt said, Diane, you know better. And that just rang in my ears. It just rang in my ears, and I knew she loved me. She wouldn't say that thing unless she loved me. And between my mother's prayers and my Aunt Bert's prayers and my cousin's death, his death was such a shock to all of us that it changed my life forever. When I came to Christ then, I said, Lord, for the rest of my life, I want to be a missionary. And at that point, I had been in the world, very worldly life, but I had also entered into, when I decided to leave the Lord, anorexia and bulimia. And the Lord delivered me from that as well. That's another story. But from that time on, I did dedicate my life that wherever God called me, I would go, and I wanted to be a missionary for him, give Bible studies to people, and just share the word with anyone I could meet or talk to.
Diane, why do you think in a lot of situations similar to yours that it takes a tragedy mm-hmm. to really shake us up to bring our eyes upon Jesus?
Just my cousin's visit, it did not change me. I just wondered about, you know, how his happiness. But I have seen that when people are facing either their home being dissolved or death or these things, God, for the first time, it seemed like His Holy Spirit was talking directly to me. I know He was talking to me before that, but it's the first time I can remember hearing Him speak to me was in that funeral. And I'm glad that those ministers used the funeral. Funerals are very important, and I tell people they should have a funeral. All Christians should have a funeral. It's more important than their life. Their funeral can change lives, and many of Dwight's students gave their lives to Christ that day. And I was just one of the people that was also giving their life to Christ at that funeral.
Wow.
That's amazing.
And so now you've got an established relationship with Christ now. And in those early stages, how did you go about nurturing that relationship? How did you learn to do that?
Well, fortunately, I got into a car accident. And I found out that the nearest church to me was four blocks away. It was an all-black church, the Ypsilanti Church, and they just mothered me. They took me under their wings. They got me involved in prison ministry. I had a girlfriend who helped me with Bible study contacts. And then she also invited me to come with her down to Uchi Pines to get health training. So I was actively involved in the choir. There were people around me sharing Christ. I had just a strong church family. For me, going through the doors of the church was the hardest thing, you know, being gone for so many years. But when I came back, that's where I was nurtured. I was nurtured in the church, and I was also nurtured as I had a real devotional time with God and not just going through the motions.
So besides the Bible, What three books have had the biggest effect on your relationship with Christ?
The Great Controversy, which I read when I was 13, which showed me what the Bible says in all of its prophecies pointing to our day. That would be number one. And I'm trying to think, other than the Bible, huh?
That's right.
I use the Bible a lot. I guess I will also say that my brother, I came to Christ in the summer of 1980. By that Christmas, my life had changed so much that my brother Jim bought me a Strong's Concordance for Christmas. And I still have that book, and I still use it on almost a daily basis.
A great resource.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful resource. That book has changed my life, and I used that as I was sifting through Christianity, trying to figure out what God's really saying in all these different churches. That book helped me greatly. And if I was to pick another one, I would have to say that editing the book Understanding the Mysteries of Daniel and Revelation by Lauren Nelson, I became the project editor for that book, and I had to delve deep into the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation for myself in order to edit that book. Mm-hmm. And that book changed my life as well. It helped me to see that I don't have to worry about the parts that are confusing to me, because God will explain them step by step as I spend time with Him in His Word.
And folks, if you just tuned in, we are playing 20 Questions with Diane Kobar, and we're just kind of coming to the end of our first segment. And Diane, the last question before the first segment, when you look at the cross of Christ, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? And if you could explain your answer, we'd appreciate it.
When I look at the cross of Christ, I see the Creator of the universe who made me. He's bleeding there for me. And I just want to give Him all my life. He made me. He redeemed me. He rescued me from the bondage of sin. His death on the cross enabled me to break all the chains of anorexia, bulimia, and every chain that I've encountered since then. It's enabled me not only to break it in my own life, but His cross lifted up in my life has brought other people to the foot of the cross too, and has changed and transformed their lives. To me, the cross is the greatest transforming power in the world.
Amen.
The greatest transforming power in my life. It shows me where I belong, at the foot of the cross.
Amen. And folks, you want to stay tuned, because we're going to be going into the second set of the 20 questions with a champion of Christ. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to Strong Tower Radio today. I'm Jelaine Fenner. And Strong Tower Radio's free offer of the day is a book called The Desire of Ages. In this book, Jesus is presented as the one who can satisfy the deepest yearnings of the human heart. It presents the divine beauty of the life of the Savior, the love of God has revealed in His Son. To obtain your free copy of The Desire of Ages, call us toll-free at 877-278-5512. Again, that's 877-278-5512. And if no one answers, please leave your name, address, and phone number and ask for The Desire of Ages, and we will mail it to you.
Thanks, Jelaine. And folks on the line with us from Frederick, we have Diane Kobar. She is the wife of Pastor Bela Kobar, and together they minister to the Grayling, Houghton Lake, and Miles Seventh-day Adventist churches. Diane, this is a little bit off topic. We're playing 20 questions today, folks, but what's it like to be a pastor's wife?
Oh, I love it. It's the best job I've ever had. One time my husband, when we were going through a difficult time in our life, he said, "Would you like me to become a chaplain?" I said, "No." there's nothing better for me, but I didn't marry a pastor. I married I married somebody who wasn't even, he didn't even have a job other than going door to door and selling religious books.
He was a coal porter.
He was a coal porter, yes. He was selling religious books. And we were doing organic gardening. And about the first year we were married, he said, "Diane, the Lord is calling me to be a pastor." And that means he's calling you to be a pastor's wife.
Yeah.
And it's been wonderful. It's been a wonderful time.
I've always, a lot of times you have a pastor and sometimes their wife is a little bit detached from the ministry.
Not me.
Yeah, others, they're not. They work as a couple. And
work as a team.
Yeah.
Joanna is a part of it.
Yeah, the talents that both of them have seem to, in some aspects, be the same, but in a lot of aspects, be different. And especially that mothering type of an aspect. And do you consider yourself kind of a mother in Israel?
Yes. I call myself a mother in Israel and a sister in Israel.
Amen. And so, folks, we're playing 20 questions today. And these questions that we're asking Diane will help to share the depth of her relationship with Christ and how she got to where she's at today. And we're hoping and praying that by listening to her life story and applying her thoughts and ideas to your life, that you too can deepen your relationship with Christ and
others
around you. And so next question, Diane, what has been your biggest revelation about God the Father to date and why?
God the Father. I guess that probably the biggest revelation I had was in my struggle with bitterness. And in my struggle with bitterness, I learned that God is a God of mercy. Mm-hmm. And my Father, He's a merciful Heavenly Father. And that when I was bitter and just telling all the bad things that people did to me and that's all I could talk about, that wasn't revealing my Father for who He is. And I actually heard three sermons on forgiveness. And I think the biggest revelation of God the Father to me is in forgiveness that He gives us. And as I realized in the parable of that man who strangles his fellow servant after he's been forgiven by the king, you know, and I recognized that was me. Here I am, just laying into this person or that person and being bitter against them when my Heavenly Father, the King of the universe, has forgiven me every single sin I ever committed. But He can't forgive me if I won't be that forgiving with other people. That, when I saw His forgiveness, that, and it healed my bitterness, and I was able to go to the specific people that I had been talking about and gossiping about with prayer and mend all those relationships again. That was the most wonderful time for me as a Christian.
So you were applying basically Matthew 18 there also?
Yes. Yes.
I know it was really exciting to me. You mentioned that our pastor actually spoke on Matthew 18 this last Sabbath and got a few new insights with that, so I really appreciated it.
So, Diane, what promise in the Bible do you cherish more than any other, and why?
More than any other promise in the Bible? Wow, that's a hard one to answer because I like all the promises. there's Psalm 119 is probably my favorite chapter, and verse 44 is a special promise to me. It says, "So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever." The next verse says, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." True freedom and true liberty is found in following God's word and God's law. I was out there in the world. I broke every rule in the book, and I did not find true freedom. But when my life was turned around after my cousin's death, immediately by the Holy Spirit, I moved into obedience step by step in every area of my life. And he has done that by his grace through his Holy Spirit, writing his law in my mind and in my heart.
Diane, how big is Bible memorization in your life right now?
Huge. Huge.
Can you tell us how you go about it?
Well, I probably first got into it when I was a teacher at Evansville Seventh-day Adventist School because I was teaching my students to memorize Scripture. And we would do that. I would use hand motions to direct them in different words that were coming up. And we would memorize portions of the Bible and also whole chapters, setting them to song as well, which I learned the songs at UG Pines Institute. But then it was about 6 years ago that I asked myself the question, what are the main things that I want to transmit to our daughter daily? And I thought, I want her every day to be memorizing Scripture, which means I want me also to be every day memorizing Scripture. So in 2008, we began a daily Scripture memorization program. We use the Young Disciple program, where they take the first letter of each word. Joanna would type those out for the chapter that we were memorizing. And we would read the chapter several times. Then we would just start being able to do it with just those first letters of each word until finally we didn't have to look at the Bible at all. And then we would use the best way that I found to keep them fresh in my mind is Scripture Typer. Scripture Typer online, you can put in all the things that you've memorized, and you can even work on things that you are memorizing because you can look at half of the words or switch it to the other half of the words. So that way I keep those things all in a review, and they'll remind you to review the Scripture. But daily, Joanna and I spend time in Scripture memorization, usually in the evening. We review and learn new passages every day.
Amen. Your next question, what one thing would you attempt for Christ today if you knew you could not fail, and why?
Well, he's promised that we would not fail. I guess that one of the things that I've always had a dream of doing is just going out on the street, taking my guitar and singing songs and sharing prophecies just in a public place. I'd like to just
street preaching
on the street when they're having their canoe race and just go on the street and sing songs and share the Bible with people in a public place. I've never done that yet, but I would like to.
You know, like you'd said when George asked you, you know, Christ, you know, we know with Christ we can't fail. But lots of times we're afraid to do something. Mm-hmm. And it's not because we think we're going to fail or I don't know. It's just, but sometimes it is, even though we know if this is, you know, Christ. And so I appreciated your answer about we know we can't fail, but yet we still don't do something sometimes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do go door to door, but I haven't yet set up my little soapbox.
Now that would be interesting. Okay, your next question. If you could do one thing over in your life, what would it be and why would you want to do it over?
If I could do one thing over in my life, I would have chosen not to leave the Lord. Mm-hmm. But what I found is what happens is when time with God just becomes a ritual, when you're not really talking to him or letting him talk to you, you let the world pull you away. And I did that at a young age. I was pulled away approximately age 14. And it was through giving in to peer pressure was probably peer pressure and also pressure of relatives who had already left the Lord. So I would say to young people, it may seem like a little thing, but don't give in to your friends if it takes you away from Christ.
Good advice.
And folks, if you just tuned in, we've got Diane Kobor on the line with us, and she's playing 20 questions with us. Diane, what is the most challenging moment of your life since becoming a Christian, and why?
One of the most challenging times I had was after my husband had become an ordained minister, and we had actually gone through the seminary together, graduated together. While we were in the seminary, I started watching a little bit of TV. And after we got out, I started watching a little bit more TV with my daughter. And then when we moved into another house, I started to stay up late and watch TV. It was like my anorexia and bulimia addiction had now turned into a TV addiction. And my husband came out one night and he said, "Diane, you shouldn't be watching that." And I said, "Oh, don't preach to me." But you know what? When I told him later, I was thinking, telling him, "Don't preach to me." You know, I love my husband. He's a good pastor. He's my favorite pastor. And I realized that I was fighting against the Holy Spirit, that I wasn't setting a good example for my daughter. The things I was watching were not good things. And so I gave it over to the Lord. And by His grace, I broke that addiction. And that was more than 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God for that. It doesn't mean we never use media, but we very carefully and sacredly guard that we would set no evil thing before our eyes and that we don't listen to any evil thing.
Amen.
That's right. You know, I just a little confession here. A few years ago, I watched TV, not a lot of TV, and less now, thank God. But I had one show that I really liked, and I would say something to somebody, and they're kind of, "Oh," and I'd say, "I know, it's my naughty show." But finally, God took me away from that. So
praise
thank God.
Lord.
Okay, your next question: what is the most rewarding moment of your life since becoming a Christian, and why?
I would say the most rewarding moment of my life was when my husband and I studied the Bible together. We prayed together because my mother was getting Alzheimer's and my dad was caring for her. And we decided as a team that Joanne and I would be part of the team and go spend time with Mom and Dad and help take care of Mom. And then when Dad got sick, Joanne and I spent 8 months in the home with my mom and dad, taking care of Mom until she died. It was the toughest time of my husband's life, probably, but it was a wonderful time for Joanna, my mom, and my dad to be together, to have morning and evening worship together, to lovingly care and laugh with each other every day until she died. That was the greatest. That was the high point of my life, to show that I loved and honored my parents till the day of their death, till my mom died in 2009.
Amen.
Amen. And folks, it's time for our second break, but we're going to be right back with the third set of questions with 20 questions today with Diane Kobor. So stay tuned.
Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner, and welcome back to Strong Tower Radio Today. We love to pray at Strong Tower Radio. So if you have a prayer request or a praise you'd like to add to our list, call us toll-free at 877-278-5512, or you can email us prayers@strongtowerradio.org.
Thanks, Jelaine. And do you know how many prayer requests we got last month?
No, I don't.
Over 200.
Amen. That's the most we've had in one month, isn't it?
It was just, we were just inundated with prayers on Facebook and calling the toll-free number and then by email, and a lot of hurting people out there.
That's right. And we have a prayer team,
We do, a prayer warrior team that are scattered all across the United States.
Amen.
And we actually have prayer meeting here at the studios on Wednesdays at noon. And then we take all the prayer requests and we pass those on to the prayer warrior team to continue praying for.
Yes.
So folks, why don't you give them the numbers again and the contact numbers again, because send those in.
That's right. Yeah, you can call us toll free at 877-278-5512. And again, if no one answers, leave your prayer request or your praise, or you can also email prayers@strongtowerradio.org.
And today, if you just tuned in, we're playing 20 Questions, and today it's with Diane Kobar. She is Pastor Bela Kobar's wife, and together they minister to the Grayling, Houghton Lake, and Miles Seventh-day Adventist churches, and I've been really blessed so far, Diane, I'll tell you. And folks, the idea behind this is by listening to Diane's answers, and you kind of get a sense of her personal relationship with Christ and the depth and the breadth of that and how she traveled the road to get where she's at now. And you can take these different answers and apply some of these thoughts and ideas to your own life. Maybe you can even kind of identify with where she's been at,
right?
Because you've been at that point in your life, or maybe you're at that point in your life right now. And it's something that's very apparent. And so, Diane, we just want to thank you so much for stopping by today and answering these questions. Sometimes you really get put on the into the spot with some of the questions.
She was.
You're welcome.
And you know, you're saying that this might help somebody. One thing, that last question, because I asked you what was the most rewarding moment in your life. And you talked about dealing with your mother, you know, Alzheimer's and dying, which can be heartrending, but yet how it was the most rewarding time that, you know, you
it
spent.
It was a joyful time.
Yeah, and I just thought that was very interesting, and that's what I thought, George, when you're saying about helping somebody, maybe that's where they're at. Because I'm thinking if I was dealing with something like that, it'd just be so devastating to me, and I would never have thought how it could be a very rewarding moment. Spending.
My dad has a great sense of humor, and we did it as a team. You know, my dad, Joanna, and I. So the three of us were like the team holding up Mom, and Mom just loved to be with us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your next question: what do you believe are the three most important qualities for you as a Christian to possess? And why?
Number one, we all need, and especially I need, unconditional love. A love that can reach out to the most depraved person in the world or to the person who has wounded me the most in my life. Number two, I need patience. Because things don't always happen the way that I want them to happen. And I need to wait on the Lord when he doesn't answer my prayers, as I think he should answer them right away. But I need patience also with others. I need patience with my husband, patience with my daughter, patience with everybody I come in contact with. And the other very important thing I find, besides unconditional love and patience, is humility. It's so easy for us to talk about ourselves, but we really cannot minister to others' needs unless we can put ourselves under them. I was just writing down a Bible verse this morning that struck me, and that was to esteem others. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Philippians 2:3. In the ministry especially, I had a girlfriend who was an adulteress. God was able to deliver her, but only because I could esteem her better than myself. In the bitterness issue, only because I could come under. Like, that's the foot of the cross. That is coming under, coming to the foot of the cross, we see that we're no better than anybody else. And I think the closer we come to Christ, the more we will become like him who made himself of no reputation. He became a servant. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death. And that's what I'd like to be, obedient unto death.
Amen.
Amen. You have lots of good advice here you're spreading around. Okay, your next question. What is the best biblical counsel that you have ever received and why?
The best biblical counsel that I have ever received happened in 2008. I was coming to Campus Sabal with Dayla and Joanna, and I was upset with my husband and the way he was parking, and I was just irritated, and I said to him, you've changed since I married you. And he said, very calmly and patiently, he said, well, maybe you've changed too. And I thought about what he said, and I thought, yes, I believe I have changed, but I really couldn't see straight at that point. I was just so upset with him. The next day, Monday, my daughter and I went to the Shepherdess meeting at Campus Sabal. We got to see Dr. Egerich's Love and Respect DVDs. 10 minutes of the DVD that deals with how women are to respect their husbands. I watched it for 10 minutes, and I said to my daughter after that, I said, oh, no, I've been disrespectful to your father almost all my life. Because I learned from his biblical presentations what it means to reverence my husband and to submit to him as it is fit in the Lord. And I learned later about Abigail. Abigail, 1 Samuel chapter 25, the way she talked to David. These have had a huge impact on the way that I treat my husband, on the way that I treat other men, my brothers, my dad, my uncles. It's even, and the way I've been able to say to my sisters, one of my girlfriends was ready to divorce her husband, and I was able to tell her tactfully, the way that you're talking about your husband, I can tell that you're talking about him disrespectfully. And I was able to go into details. That marriage was saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And I praise God. That has been the greatest lesson in probably the last 10 years for me, is learning to respect my husband, respect the leadership of the church, respect in a special way, male leadership.
Next question, Diane. If today was your last 24 hours on earth, what three things would be at the top of your bucket list to accomplish and why?
If today would be my last day on earth, I would need to point out to my husband where the important papers are in the house so that he could find them after I was gone. I would express my love again to my members of my family, and I would tell them to follow Jesus for the rest of their life, because I would like to see them again in heaven. That would be probably, I'd have to take care of practical things first, but then I would just want to see everybody again. In fact, I had that experience in 2007 where I was bleeding, and I thought, oh no, maybe I have cancer. And in that moment when I was praying to the Lord and I was thinking that I might be dying in the next couple months because it seemed like it was something serious, God gave me a special peace that he would take care of my family, and I really wasn't worried about my family, and I was able to rest in him. So I've already had sort of an experience of facing death, so it doesn't really scare me anymore, because God promised that he would take care of my family. And I didn't have that terrible cancer, and I'm really glad to say that I came through just fine.
I like, though, what you're talking about, the three things to do. You're a practical woman. Think about some things, because that's right. Sometimes, being a mother and, the wife, sometimes there's things that, and then if something happens to us, they're going to have no clue, are they?
No.
See, to me, if I was going to answer that question, the practical things, that wouldn't worry me. I guess I would look at it, that's going to get taken care of. You know, that's the way I look at it. I think it's interesting that, you know, you're looking at it from a whole different standpoint. I can understand that, though.
Right. You were probably thinking more spiritual.
He'd have to know where his birth certificate is, and where the title to the car is, and where the deed to the house is, because I'm the only one in the house who knows, basically. Right. And Joanna. Joanna might know where those things are, too.
See, I have a day.
My husband would have no clue.
I have a day planner, and I've always told my wife that if I pass away, that there's a special information page that's in there that has all the account numbers, all the phone numbers, everything. And then the same thing with here at the studios, because there's a lot of things that
that's
I do
right.
that nobody else, you know, has any idea about. And so, you know, I have all of those different things all written down. So when and if I pass, all they've got to go is to that information. Well, it's actually pages and get. And so.
So your practical things you've written down.
Yes.
Good, George.
Smart, George.
Well, I don't know about that.
I really like that a lot. I need to do that.
Yeah. I just thought that would be so much easier for my wife, you know, and take a lot of the worry away, because which one of us, I mean, how many different internet accounts do you have? And then how many different passwords and this and that? And I mean, it's just overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah, you're right. And we'd be lost without George here, so you better leave some information.
But at the same time, I mean, they're going to be going through a tragic time, and that's the last things that they want to be thinking about. And, you know, you're going to be worried. I mean, you know, like, what am I going to do now?
Yeah,
and so, okay, next question.
Good answer, George.
Okay, if you could lead anyone in the world to the foot of the cross, who would it be and why would you choose them?
If I could lead anyone in the world to the foot of the cross, who would it be and why them? I would like to, if there's anyone I could lead to the foot of the cross, it would be all the members of my immediate family who have not submitted themselves 100% to Christ. My family immediately pops into my mind. And I just pray for all the members of my family that they would love Christ, that they would choose His truth, and that they would give up the world for Jesus and all that it has to offer, and take the counsel in the world, in the God's word, and prepare for the second coming of Christ.
Okay, next question. Who's your favorite Bible character besides Jesus, and why?
My favorite Bible character is Abigail. She was married to a fool, yet by God's grace, her character was polished into a beautiful jewel. And she was confronted with an angry David who was coming to slaughter her family and all of her servants. And she came to him with words of wisdom, tact, and respect. And if I could emulate anyone in the Bible besides Jesus, I would like it to be said that I was like Abigail, a woman of wisdom. She pointed David back to the days when he took down Goliath. If you read through that 1 Samuel chapter 25, and she over and over again calls him my Lord. She puts herself underneath him. She comes to be a handmaiden of the Lord to help David think better thoughts, to remind him of the way God has led in his life. And she turned what would have been a terrible tragedy into a beautiful victory. And she was blessed. And David at the end was able to say, blessed are you, and blessed is your counsel. May that be my life story.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. What is the first thing you want to ask Jesus when you meet him face to face?
When I meet Jesus face to face, I know he'll answer all my questions.
Well, what's the number one question you're going to have?
Question. I don't know. Actually, this is what I do. When I have a question and God hasn't given me the answer for it, I have a diary that I write in daily, but I have a special place in the back of my diary where I write down my questions. And Jesus knows those questions. So I, on a regular basis, have been writing down different questions for God to answer for me. And some of them deal with verses of the scripture I might not understand clearly, or questions about things that have happened. So I've just been making my list already. I can't really think of an overwhelming question that I have to ask him.
I like that.
Well, there's so many questions. Yeah, not maybe ones.
I never thought of writing them all down.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And he has them all recorded.
Yes, you're right.
He has our tears in a bottle, too.
Mm-hmm.
I always like that from a visual standpoint when you're looking at that. So, okay, Diane, if you could ask any question you wanted to our listening audience, what would it be, and why would you choose that question?
I would say, have you given your life over to Christ 100%? Is there anything that you have not yet submitted to Christ and surrendered to him? Because I would like to know, why won't you give it to Jesus? Give it to Jesus and he will change you. Any problem area you have in your life, any sin that you can't get the victory over, why don't you give it to him? Because he will change you. He took me out of all of my addictions. He transformed me. And I know there's nothing that he can't overcome. So why don't you give all of your heart to him?
Amen. And Diane, we just want to thank you so much for answering these questions today. Some tough questions.
Well, they are, as I was, you know, and they're different questions we ask different people. I don't know where you come up with these questions, but it's not always the same questions for people. But it, yeah, it's some of them took you by surprise. You had never maybe thought about it, had you, Diane?
No, you guys ask hard questions, but it's a blessing to talk about the Lord and what he does in life.
Amen. And folks, we just want to thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, you can listen to this program again on our website at strongtowerradio.org. And always remember that God loves you with an everlasting love, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you, even for a moment.
Bye, folks.